sign it, okay?
Now, I've heard it said for quite a while now, that's what happens when you get a full design, you begin to, for quite a while, everything's been heard. But the point is that what you're beginning to get is people who are opposed to the Bible, people who are opposed to the Bible on the basis of science theory. There's a difference between scientific fact, which is a truth that can be recreated and observed. Scientific theory is what supposedly took place in the past. So the very thing that skeptics want to criticize you and I and other Bible believers for is what they're guilty of. They claim we just have an idea that's our own, a theory, okay? And yet that's all much of what goes by today as science is just scientific theory. And especially in the book of Genesis, the accounts of creation, the flood, and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, those three get really attacked when it comes to trying to discredit the Bible. And yet, these three were chosen by Christ, or the two of these three were chosen by Christ to verify his return. Now, you're in Genesis 7. Keep your place there, but go to Luke 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke 17. You say, I know where Luke is. Listen, that was for my sake as well as yours. All right? Luke 17, and I'm going to be at verse 26. We're seeing how Christ used the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood to verify his return. So if you deny these two, you're denying Christ. Well, that's no problem to the atheist and the Bible skeptic, okay? But to anybody who puts any credit into the scriptures, you see that what's said back in the first book is carried over into the latter part of the book. All right, Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. You say, it doesn't say Noah, it says Noe. Yeah, well, Noe is Noah, okay? Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed all of them. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. So Jesus used these two to refer to his coming. Now, one of the things that I want to establish today as we look at this part of the ark, and that is the safety of the ark, is how the ark is a picture of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And we'll also see that the ark is a picture of our salvation, our position in Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the primary purpose of Scripture is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it does so by dealing with many of the details of Genesis, God's creation, and the happenings on the earth. And then the calling of Abraham, the establishment of Israel as a nation, the place of Israel as the vehicle through which would come the Messiah, the Savior, which was promised before the establishment of the nation of Israel. Now, Israel is key in the scriptures, but it is just a vehicle, an instrument through which God carries out the promises made when all it was on the earth was Gentiles. Okay? There was no Jews back in prior to Abraham and the calling of Israel. And so from Genesis to Revelation, the primary purpose is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back to Genesis. This time I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. Now there's a promise here in Genesis chapter 3, and it'll be familiar to many of you, most of you perhaps. Genesis chapter 3, it's God's first promise to relieve mankind, to deliver mankind from the sin that man brought on the earth. And God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, all that happens after that is to talk about how God is going to keep that promise, that he is going to provide for man, because to get man out of the wrong choice that he made, that'd be Adam and Eve, the wrong choices that they made. That's what God does today in our salvation. He chooses to get us out of the dumbness of our wrong choices.
That's right. Amen.
Now, let's move along here. The ark was not the invention of man. It originated in the mind of God.
Amen.
It was planned by God. It was supernaturally revealed to Noah. Okay? Now, it was not like Hollywood puts it out, okay? Where there was all kinds of mysterious clouds and vapors rolling around, and some kind of being in the sky, and Noah was down there wondering. No. You read the picture, it's very clear. God talked to Noah. The plans for the ark, the very existence of the ark, was supernaturally revealed to Noah by the word of God. Now, to you Bible believers, you know that's a key phrase, by the word of God. And that's what happened. No, it wasn't written. It was what God spoke. God spoke and told Noah that he needed to make an ark. Now, I can imagine Noah wondering, what's an ark? Okay? And there's going to be a flood. Up to this point in time, there was no rain. Okay? The earth was watered by the dew. But nevertheless, okay, it was going to rain. But it wasn't just rain. The waters of the deep burst forth from underneath, okay? We fear, understandably, volcanic eruptions. Well, these were hydro eruptions from underneath, okay? The springs and waters and rivers under the earth didn't stay there. The whole world, whole earth, was flooded. Now, while Noah, you know, even what I just described, if there were a pew full of scientists, if there were a pew full of skeptic, atheistic scientists, all right, because you've got some godly men that are scientists, some really good stuff. If you need to find scientific to soothe your mind, there are godly scientists that can speak and hold their own with anybody else that's a skeptic. But if there were a row of them sitting here, they'd be grinning, chuckling, shaking their heads no to the things that I'm saying. But that's okay. I'm not teaching them. I'm teaching other Christians. And the purpose of it is to support what you know is so, what you already believe. And I would not want to go up against such a skeptical scientist. Okay, I that he's out of my league. We would need Pastor or Brother McVeigh, okay? Or one of these Christian scientists I talk about. They can hold their own. Listen, don't you be downhearted. Don't you think ill of yourself because you would not be able to enter into a debate with some of the skeptics of the world. Listen, all you need is faith to get yourself to heaven. Okay? God will take care of silencing the skeptics and the Bible deniers, and He has people that can do that. And it's great to listen to them. And I sit there and I think, I know that. But you're going to only know it, you got to be able to remember it and put it together in the way that some of these people do. Okay? And all right, let's move along here. While Noah had no part in planning the ark, he was given a part in building the ark. Two key words there. No part in planning, that was God, but he had a part in building, that was Noah. As God came to him in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14 and said, make thee an ark. And he gave him the plans for it, the size of it, all of the dimensions that were necessary. This is a picture of incarnation. Okay? The incarnation of Jesus Christ. While the ark was God's divine design, the ark had to be built by the sinner who was needed saving from the flood. The savior of sinful man must himself be a man, the one who owes the debt, but also he needed to be sinless in order to provide the perfect sacrifice to bring salvation. And so the Savior must be both God and man. Now you know what I'm saying. You have heard, this is not something you've never heard before. The Savior must have a human body and nature as well as a divine nature. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. There's the God-man, okay, made of a woman under the law. So you have both the divine and the natural. And so it goes on in verse 5, why did he do this? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did God give the plans for the ark? Why did God have Noah build the ark? So that he could save mankind. I don't know how many people were on the earth at the time. In years past, I read man's estimates and guesstimates, okay? I don't know what it was, and nothing near to what we have today. But out of all of that, there was just one man, one family that believed. Yeah, we're in the minority. And sometimes that can be discouraging. But listen, there's nothing new to this, to be in the minority. What's the term for that? Remnant. Okay?
Yep.
The remnant. We're part of the remnant.
That's right.
And that don't worry about it. And just as God planned and designed the ark, but Noah built it, so God planned for our salvation. He used the nation Israel, the woman Mary, and they, as Noah, had to be obedient. Now there was a perfect safety in this ark. Let me look at that for a little bit. The ark was the safest ship ever built. I'm just letting you think of that, especially when you think about the pictures of this larger than a football field, rectangle, square, almost flat construction. Now, I've not done it, but I'd like to do it. I'd like to go down to answers in Genesis and that recreation of the ark that they built. People that have been there have said it is unbelievably awesome to see what it was. It was completely unsinkable. Now there was another big ship that was claimed to be unsinkable. Okay? The Titanic. And we know that it was sinkable. Why? Because man planned it. Not only did he build it, but man planned it. And when you read about why the ark sank, you understand where the limitedness of man who planned it, and then man who sailed it, where it came in. Okay? You can understand why the term unsinkable did not apply. But in the case of the ark, no storm could be great enough to cause it to sink. It was a perfect place of refuge. Now, do you see the comparison? The security of all those in the ark was guaranteed. Why? The ark was secure because the designer himself was present in the ark.
Amen.
Okay? God was present in the ark and it could not sink. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Say, listen, now if I told you this before, and some of you I saw did it, but a lot of you didn't. In your Bible that you get, there's usually two ribbons, okay? And that's not enough. You need to go buy yourself, spend the money, buy yourself some other narrow ribbons. And then down in the top, you stick about that much of the ribbon in there and squirt a little glue in that, okay? Now, I know the librarian doesn't like us to be putting glue down in there. But you put a little glue down and you attach those extra ribbons. My extras are purple. I had a Bible rebound, and if you go to the place that I gave you a name, or you have a name of one, that's right, you can get as many ribbons. I had 6 ribbons in a Bible. You say, oh, that's more than you need. Yeah, but I can get there much quicker than you can. Okay. And so anyway, there you go. That has nothing to do with the ark. I got to remember where I'm going. Oh, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, what's the next word?
Come.
Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. God didn't say, Noah, the flood's going to come. The ark's done. Go in the ark. And I'll watch over you. No, he said, come. This is the first time in the Bible that the word come is used in an invitational form. The two previous times it's used in chapter 6, verse 13 and 18, it's instructional, instructing regarding the ark. Come build an ark, okay? You say, well, that sounds to me like an invitation to build it. No, it's an instruction regarding it. This time, it's an invitation, okay? Let him that is thirst, what? Come. Okay, come. It's an invitation. And that's what it was here. And God was in the ark. Now, if God had simply watched over the ark, that would have been sufficient. But that's not God's way. God was in the ark. It could not sink, or else God would drown with it. I'm just giving you a moment to mull that over, okay? Not in a physical sense, like Noah and his family would have drowned, okay, if the ark had did sink. But in the sense of keeping his word, had the ark failed, then God's word would have failed. But the ark didn't fail, did it? No. In Matthew chapter 8, I'm not going to take the time to turn to it. That's the story about when, and I don't like that term story. That seems to infer maybe, you know, something like, you know. And so in the account In Matthew chapter 8, the disciples and Jesus were in a boat. I think it's called a ship, but you know, by our standards today, it would have been a big boat. And Jesus was asleep, and a big storm came up, and it scared the disciples, just like I'd have been scared, okay? I'd much rather fly than I would be in a boat. Okay, and try and cross the ocean in a boat. Man, if that thing goes down, I'd really rather die on impact than I would. Okay, that's just my preference. God knows how it's going to be. Now, let's see, where was I now? I got to go back to my notes. How was my... Oh, they were asleep. Jesus was asleep in the boat.